As I said, we have Robert join us tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Should we just pray for Robert?
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this educated mind, for his service and honour of your word. Thank you for his heart, for those who want to learn more about you. And we just pray that as he's studied your word for tonight, as he's waited on your Holy Spirit to give him inspiration, would you now enable him to lead us into new thinking and new ways to know you and glorify you and see you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, so good evening to you all, and this top button, what button do I press?
Left or right?
Right. Yeah, that's it, brilliant. Okay, so this is the last in this series, and we're looking at God as revealed through the Holy Spirit tonight. And there's some of the scriptures there. And if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. That's from John, of course. And then when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And then, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, that's the third one with Spirit of the Truth in, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So some wonderful scriptures there, isn't there, about the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's the Advocate. And, you know, Jesus is about to, this is obviously, he's about to be glorified. Jesus speaks about that, doesn't he, in the book of John. You know, my time's not yet come. And then eventually says, my time's come. I'm about to be glorified. And of course, his moment of glory was the cross. But as he's leading up to that, he wants to really kind of speak the really important things from his heart. And he's saying, you know, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send one. Although you won't have me in person, physical, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh, isn't he? You won't have me in person as a physical Word made flesh. But you will have someone, if you like, as the best, well, actually better, really, because Jesus couldn't be at all places at all times, could he? He was physically located in mainly Galilee for 3 years, the occasional trip to Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit's going to be even better, because actually he'll be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the Holy Spirit, part of the Blessed Trinity, God in the, we sing that song, don't we? God in three persons, blessed, I'm moving on there, not on here. Blessed Trinity. And there it is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And many different representations throughout church history of the Trinity. I don't know about you, but for the first, I don't know how many years of my Christian life, I keep moving it here and not there, my Christian life, I just couldn't figure out who I was supposed to be praying to. Does anyone else have the same problem? It's like, am I supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit or the Father or Jesus? Or I got them all mixed up and I just hadn't got a clue. It took me years to kind of come to a place where I kind of sort of was at peace about it all, really. But the concept of the Trinity isn't that clear in the Bible, actually. In reality, it's very hard to, and you'll get some people who say, actually, there isn't a Trinity. They'll say it's about the Father and the Son, and the Spirit isn't, you know, really the third person. He's some kind of, you know, love or you know, he's the Spirit, but he's just the love that flows between them or something. So you won't always find everybody is Trinitarian necessarily, but the doctrine is not that clear in Scripture. But the important thing is, I love this. You see Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan, and you can read it in several of the Gospels. And it's a wonderful moment because, you know, Jesus is baptized, he comes out of the water, and then, of course, the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove, doesn't he? Does anyone remember that? Yes, you're older than you look. So the Spirit descends upon him as a dove, and that's brilliant. And then you get that voice from heaven. I know you probably can't read it there, can you? Yeah. Well, you can, yes. The Father speaks and he says, you know, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Isn't that beautiful words? What a beautiful picture of the Trinity all together. There's Jesus, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father speaks. You know, you are my beloved Son. I mean, all the things that God could have said, that's really what was the thing that was in his heart. His heart was full of towards his Son, to express towards his Son, you're my beloved. I am so pleased with you. You thrill me. You're my Son. I'm your Father. You're a chip off the old block. And I love you to bits. So isn't that amazing? And the Trinity is very hard to understand, but they're there. And I love the concept that Jesus is, God actually is community. Do you remember when God made man? He said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let us make man. Let's make him like we are. We are, if you like, community. One God, but in three persons. Mystery, yes. But community. The essence of God is community. He's team, if you like. And so, therefore, if we're to reflect him, and the Holy Spirit is actually sent to help us to become more like Jesus, to reflect God, then, of course, that's quite appropriate. I pray, this is what they call sometimes, I think, the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John's Gospel. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Who's longing for that one to be fulfilled? When are we going to be one? When are we going to stop pulling one another down, stabbing one another in the back, criticizing others, judging everybody else, saying everybody else isn't good enough, or, you know, when are we going to stop being so cliquey, and when are we actually going to, as Christians, come together and be unified? Well, if Jesus prayed it, the prayer will be answered, won't it? And I love that how the Trinity was beautifully reflected in the early church, in that scripture in Acts. All the believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that they owned that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. So that 50p's mine later. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them. A wonderful picture of community, because that was reflected who God was. God is love. And God is community, and God loves to, you know, he sets the lonely in families. God loves to bring us into community. So God is a spirit of community. And the Holy Spirit's work is to, you know, that part of the Trinity that's now, if you like, on earth. Because God the Father in heaven, Jesus is seated now at his right hand. That's great. But then it says in Book of Daniel, that Jesus goes up, you know, into the presence of God, but then he pours out his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the part of God that is with us now, he's present with us, and he's working, 24/7. Even when you're asleep, God's at work. God doesn't go to bed at night. You might go to sleep, but God's still working in you, still working on you. And I think that's wonderful. So that's the first thing, really. He's part of the Trinity. He's a person. He's not a thing. And he's here and he's active. He's very, very active. And so another scripture here, you who are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? You are in the realm of the Spirit right now. That's who you are. You're a person who is living in the realm, the kingdom, where the Spirit is living. Isn't that amazing to think we're caught up, in a sense? We've been caught up into the Godhead, in a sense. Caught up into the Trinity. We're not the Godhead, but we are caught up into him. We're caught up into all that he is, that we may be one with him as he, Jesus is in the Father, the Father's in him, and we're all one. Isn't that amazing? God's plan is to catch us up into all that he is, to be part of his family. With he's the Father and we're his sons. It's incredible. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, well, if the Spirit of God doesn't live in you, then I suggest that you get the Holy Spirit to live in you. You repent of your sins, say, sorry, Lord, I got it wrong. I've been living my life the wrong way. Now I'm surrendering to you. Holy Spirit, come and live in me now. And you direct my life, because you'll make a much better job of it than I have. Who thinks he makes a better job of it than you do? Every time, I tell you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. So you've got to have the Spirit, of course. And that Spirit is the one who gives us a new heart, a new spirit. Isn't that amazing that when you received the Holy Spirit, you became completely brand new? Wow. Everything has been made new. Behold, I make all things new. A completely new heart, completely new spirit, and a spirit in you into the bargain. I mean, that's a pretty good exchange, I think, really. Everything is completely made brand new. Who's excited about that tonight? Do you feel brand new? Who's feeling a bit old and jaded, a bit rusty, you know, a few creaky joints or whatever, or aching back when you wake up in the morning? But I tell you that he has made all things new. So we just need to get hold of it. Okay, we're a bit slow in the uptake sometimes. You know, we've got this kind of resistance in us. It's called the old thinking. Stinking thinking, I call it. So let's just get that out of the way and say, God, thank you every morning. You've made me new and you've given me a brand new start. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Preach yourself. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is dynamic. You see, this is one of the things about the Holy Spirit, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. What is he like? What is this person like? Well, think about Jesus. When Jesus was in Galilee, you like that? I'm walking around. Can you see that? Private joke here, but I'm moving around. And the thing about Jesus, he moved around. He went round and round and round in circuits, a bit like Samuel the prophet, went round and round in a circuit from, you know, here, there and everywhere. Jesus was moving around. You know, people say Christianity is a moving experience. Jesus was walking and he was talking, just like Adam and Eve, God spoke with them in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was moving. You'd hardly ever see him sitting down. He's, you know, he had a few parties and stuff. Maybe he had the odd moment sitting down, but most of the time he was on the move. Even in Mark's gospel, right at the beginning, you see revival breaks out. And Jesus and the disciples think, well, this is brilliant. Let's stay here. Let's keep the revival going. Jesus says, no. He goes up the mountain to pray. No, we're moving on to the next town. He had to keep moving. So the Holy Spirit's dynamic in every way. And there are many symbols of him. One of those symbols, of course, is fire. He's not by word like a fire, says the Lord. It's the fire of God's love. Our God's a consuming fire. That's a great picture of him. He you can't contain fire. It's something that burns and it can burn out of control. And there's a lot of fires going on at the moment, aren't there? Different parts of Europe and America. And they're burning out of control. Well, God doesn't want to be... You can't put God, we can try, in a box. God has to be free and he has to break out and burn out, if necessary, out of that, the limits that we put. And he's fire. Well, yesterday, I don't know about you, but whether you experienced it, but we had very strong winds. Did you experience the strong winds yesterday? Blowing everywhere. And I thought it was good that we're doing a talk on the Holy Spirit. He is like the wind. And it actually says in John's Gospel, we're like the wind, actually. The ones who are born of the Spirit. It's wind. We don't know where it's going, where it's coming from, but it keeps blowing. That's Jesus. You could never tie Jesus down. Maybe you thought, I'd love to have been one of Jesus' disciples, would you? Because you could never figure him out. You could never tie him down. He was always kind of like doing unexpected things. And like the wind, he was just moving around. And you can't pin him down. And oil, of course. Well, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, in the Old Testament of anointing, and the oil that was poured on. oil that flows, oil that makes everything move. You think of like clockwork, you know, put oil in to make everything, just all the cogs moving nicely. That's a beautiful picture, the Holy Spirit who wants to make everything. He wants everything to have an ease to it. Jesus said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. And the Holy Spirit has given us that oil, if you like, to make everything move smoothly. So they're wonderful pictures, aren't they, of the Holy Spirit, and of course also as a dove. Wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Again, moving. So everything about the Holy Spirit is moving. Just like, and that totally reflects the life of Jesus, who had the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So you're going to expect, if you're going to have got the Spirit in you, you're going to have something like the life of Jesus. Something, in some way, like his. You're not going to have his ministry, but you'll have some of the things that were in Jesus' life will be in yours. Because you've got the same Spirit in you. It's the Spirit of Jesus. So, the next point I want to make is this, that he is with you. He is, you know, the Word made flesh is at the right hand of the Father now. In fact, he's seated now because he's done his bit. He's having a rest. He's earned it. Jesus deserved a rest, don't you think, after what he went through? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting on until all enemies are put under his feet. But the Holy Spirit's here working, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, how is that possible? Because he sent the Holy Spirit to us. He said to them, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Many people have like an orphan spirit. They feel rejected, abandoned. Well, let the Holy Spirit minister into that area, because he said, I will not leave you as orphans. In what way did he not leave us as orphans? Well, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. And in that sense, he doesn't leave us as orphans. And of course, because you're his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father, yes, you're my Father. You are my Father. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit does in us. Cries out, Abba, Father. Why? Because Jesus is the one in Gethsemane who cried out with loud cries and tears to his Father, to his Abba. Abba, take me from this situation. I don't want to go to the cross. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours. That same Spirit's in you. The same Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus loved to go off and pray because he had the Spirit of his, you know, the Spirit in him was the Spirit that cried, Abba, Father. Because it's the same Spirit Jesus had. And you know you have the same access to the Father that Jesus had. You have no less access. That is an amazing thought. That the eternal one, Jesus, the Word made flesh, who'd coexistent, co-eternal with God in all time and space, and just came down for a brief time. But that same one, he is in you. That same Spirit is in you now. And we are adopted as his sons, aren't we? So let's do a question. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit, remember, he's God at work right now, with us right now, abiding amongst us right now, Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel now, Spirit of Jesus. So what's your experience? So just have a little chat amongst yourself. Okay, off you go. What's your experience of the Holy Spirit?
Exuding
yourself up, or not wind yourself up, wind yourself down. Okay, so, well, it's good. I hope you've managed to share some stuff about, you know, your own life. And of course, God is that wonderful Abba, and yes, he's the one who's always with us, and the one who's adopted us, he's our Abba Father. He's the one who actually wants us to walk. He just wants us to walk, you know, life actually. He just wants us to walk with him. It's as simple as that. You could be a bit like Enoch, you know, walked with God and you were not, because you got taken up. But that's all God's ever wanted. He's just wanted a walk with us. And so Jesus walked with the disciples. And then, of course, he says, I'm going to send you the Parakletos is the... I keep forgetting, I moved that one on. Parakletos. The Paraclete. Ever heard the Paraclete? So it's just a Greek word for the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos. He's the one that God sends, and it's a word that, you know, means a number of different things, really. He's the advocate, a bit like in a law court, where someone's sort of advocating on your behalf, pleading your case, if you like. He's a Parakletos, is someone who Jesus is saying, I'll send the Paraclete. It'll be one like me. He'll be like me, one who's called alongside you. So, you know, I won't be here physically, but you'll have the Holy Spirit. You know, he'll be invisible, but he's with you. And that's the funny thing, isn't it, in our relationship with God, that we don't see God most of the time. You know, he's invisible, but he's there, you know, and we can experience, sometimes we can experience him in many different ways through our senses and so on. We can just experience him through circumstances and situations we're in where we clearly know that he's moving. So he is the Parakletos that he leads us into all of the truth, and it's that truth, of course, that sets us free. So there we are, that's the Paraclete, and that's really the nature of the Holy Spirit. And another word for that is comforter, helper, whatever you want to say. It's God in whatever way coming alongside us to plead our case, to help us, to be our encouragement, to be our strength, whatever we need in order that we can walk with God in the cool of the evening. Notice, not in the heat of the day. God wants us to walk with him in the cool of the evening. So that's something of the nature of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but in myself, I am weak. Does anyone else feel that in yourself? You know your weakness. You know that without God, you're nothing. That without God, you've got nothing. If God doesn't come through, you know, you're not going to make it. I don't know about you, but I need his help every day. I love that song, you know. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. That's my testimony. I need him. It says here that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is part of the work of the Spirit, you know, as the helper, as the encourager, as the one who comes alongside. He helps us in our weakness. We don't know how to pray even, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes, you know, you can't pray, but a groan is enough, because it's the Spirit in you. It's the Spirit in you that wants to connect with through you to the Father. And make that connection. Once you've got that connection with God, everything's hunky-dory, isn't it? God just wants you to make a connection with him. Yeah, get out of your own belief, out of your fear, out of your anxiety, out of your, you know, your whatever it is that's going on, the physical stuff that's going on. Get out of that and get into him and just link up with him. Connect with God. That's all he wants. He just wants you to connect with him. And because he wants that fellowship, you know? Here's the thing that we often pray, isn't it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's God. It's God. It's the grace came through Jesus Christ because of the blood shed on the cross. That's how we have received the grace of God, through Christ. And of course, it's the love of God. Yeah, we experience the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to advise you. He wants to tell you the truth, because you don't know what the truth is, actually. You know, you think you know what the truth is. We all have ideas and opinions and attitudes. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit will come along and say, actually, the truth is this. It's like, God, what on earth's going on here? I just don't know what's going on. Are you ever like that? God, I don't know what's up and down. I don't know what to do, Lord. And the wonderful thing is the Spirit of truth, and with that fellowship with him, he'll show you. He loves to show you. He wants to show you what to do. He wants to give you discernment so you know exactly what's happening in a situation, and how to pray, and how to help, and how to encourage, and what to do in that situation. So, praise God for the grace of Jesus and the love of God and that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's through the Holy Spirit that we connect with the Father. Hope doesn't disappoint us, doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. See, the Holy Spirit is the love of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and God is love. And he wants us to experience that love. It's not I know God loves me because the Bible tells me so. I mean, okay, that's it starts there, but it's not an intellectual thing. The Holy Spirit is not an intellectual thing. Christianity is not an intellectual thing. Western Christianity has very much become a talking shop with very little power and very little experience. We don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. But once we've got the Word of God and we're in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit wants to make the Word of God real to us, and he wants to pour out that love in our hearts so we experience the love of God. Yeah? And that happens through the Holy Spirit, who says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That wonderful Jeremiah scripture, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Even before he created us, he loved us. And then this wonderful scripture, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. This is the word parakletos again. And standby, that he may remain with you forever. Yeah, I will give you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one who is the comforter. And you know that scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. You've received double for your sins. But now God says, the book of Isaiah changes in chapter 40, 39 chapters of woes and judgments and all sorts of stuff. And then God says, but now, one day I'm going to deal with your sin, and now, what am I going to give you now? What's the new covenant? Comfort! I'm going to comfort you. Comfort, comfort, says your God. Who knows that? Anyone know what that is? What's that picture of? Battle of Hastings, isn't it? Yeah. It's the Bayeux Tapestry, isn't it? Yes. Anyone ever seen it? I've never seen it. You've seen it? Love to see. Actually, I was always looking at this. It took me ages to find this picture. It took me about 3/4 of an hour. I knew the words that went with it. But anyway, it made me want to go and see it. This is a picture here, and you can see on the left-hand side there, can you see, it looks like a club, but it's actually a spear. The soldier on the horse on the right, that's William. And it kind of says there in the whatever language that is. And he's got his spear. It says, William comforteth his troops. But it's a funny sort of comfort. He's got his spear in his hand. And this is kind of like the kind of comfort, really. It's like an exhortation. It's like, come on, we can do it, guys. Come on, go for it. You know, and it's this, this is God's kind of comfort. So, God is a comforter. It means that he's the one who strengthens us in order to do God's will. It was the Holy Spirit that strengthened Jesus in Gethsemane to go to the cross. He couldn't have done that in his own strength. Jesus did that through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you overcome? How do I overcome? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's not very visible. So that's a bit better up there. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit's the comforter, the one who strengthens us, the one who helps us. And so the question is, talk about some of the times you've known the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your own life. Have you known that comfort at times? When have you needed that? You've been desperate and you've known and experienced that the Holy Spirit comforting you, strengthening you. Not just there, dear, but a real inner strengthening when you were just almost maybe at the end of your tether. What was the situation? How did his comfort change things? And then, you know, if you've said those things, then you've got time. Just start thanking God that the comforter has come. Amen? So, okay, is that clear? Just kind of sharing, really, about how your own experience of God comforting you. Amen? So, I hope you've all had kind of encounters with the Lord and known that in his life. But know this, even if you haven't, his desire really is to comfort you in every way and through his Holy Spirit. And so he's the Spirit of truth. He's the one who, Jesus said, you will know the truth. The truth will make you gloriously free. break the chains. This is what he does. He's doing it every day. He's Baal Perazim. He's God of the breakthrough. Any of you need a breakthrough? The Holy Spirit's the only one that can do it. Yeah, I needed a bit of a breakthrough this week. I was praying with some stuff to do with work, and it was just wasn't getting anywhere. And finally decided, I've just got to surrender everything to Him, because sometimes you're in your head and you're trying to figure everything out. And I finally just thought, I've just got to surrender. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going through the same old things round and round in my mind. Holy Spirit comes in and boom, total peace. I don't know what the answer is, but He does. And He'll sort it all out at some stage, because He wants to set us free. Free to serve in the new way of the Spirit. Amen? He is that Spirit. That's all the things of the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, the Spirit of knowledge, and fear of the Lord. That's everything. The Holy Spirit brings all of that and more into our lives. So, hallelujah. So, may He give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, Paul prays that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. God, it's only God. We prayed that in the song earlier. You know, open my eyes, Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can open an eye. You know, Jesus said, no one comes to me except the Father draws him. Someone can't even become a Christian without it's the Holy Spirit working to open their eyes. Only the Holy Spirit can take away spiritual blindness and open eyes. Remember Paul, the apostle, God blinded him to show him the state of his heart. Your heart's blind. But then Ananias prayed for him, the scales fell off. Hallelujah, the Holy Spirit can remove the veil. And He's that spirit of wisdom and revelation. So God just wants us tonight. We're going to worship now in a moment. And He just wants you to be saturated in Him. You know, we talk about, you know, being baptized, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I think that's just not, it's not just a physical baptism going through water. It's actually a baptism being put into a tank of God. God wants to saturate you tonight. Whatever your experience has or hasn't been of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just experiences, but it's just knowing the reality of God. That's what the Spirit of Truth means. It's the Spirit of reality, the one who wants to make God real to you. And I pray He'll make Himself more real to you and saturate you. He wants to saturate you and just let all the healing come and let all the stress go and let all the confusion and the anxieties, just let it all go away in saturated with God. Amen? Amen? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by His Spirit. Let's worship the Lord.
He's gentle. I know we saw the Battle of Hastings up there, but He's gentle. And He wants to speak to us tonight. And the first song that we're going to do is No Longer Slaves. So we've heard about the chains being broken and us being free. And it's a song that says, I'm the child of God. And we heard that we were all children of God that need to cry out to Abba, Father. And the first line of the song says, you unravel me. There's stuff going on that you don't even know, but you just feel a bit of torment. The Holy Spirit can unravel that and make sense of that. So that's what we're going to sing about first of all. But I think Simon and Robert, I think they're going to be here. If you want to come for prayer, come and be prayed for. If you've never felt the Holy Spirit move you, come and feel Him move you. I remember one day I was walking down the road and I'd actually had a nervous breakdown. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, Joe, be real. And with that, and He's chosen me to do this. Let yourself be free. Let's stand. At any point, if you want to sit, if you want to kneel, if you want to lay on the floor, you just do that.
You unravel. Drowned in perfect love.
people that are just thinking, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do to receive the Holy Spirit. If that's you, just put your hand like that. Just pop your hands out gently. And we're going to start this song again. And just expect Him. And if you feel shaky, you feel shaky. It's the wind of the Spirit. But He's not going to hurt. He's going to make you whole.
Forgive us where we've made selfish decisions. And tonight we want to recommit our lives to you. We want to say that you know what is right for us. And we thank you that the source of that is your Holy Spirit. your never-ending, ever-present Holy Spirit. And God, whether we tangibly feel you or not, we say you are true, you are real, you are present. And we sit with that knowledge and that feeling of knowing that you love us and you're with us. So we thank you, Lord, for all we've heard tonight, what's been unpacked through Scripture with Robert, for our worship, for our time just to hear your voice. But before we go, let's just have a moment of quietness, just to reflect on what you might do. Where do you go from this place tonight? Just a moment, just a minute. Think, how can we let the Holy Spirit have more space in our life? So Lord, we thank you that through this series we've got to know a bit more about who you are, God. Looking at the names of who you are, what we've discovered. And Father, we look ahead to where you're going to take us over the next few months. We thank you that your Spirit goes ahead of us and goes with us. So send your Spirit upon us now. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. You are here. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless you, God. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, can I encourage you, if there's something you felt God say to you tonight, then share that with someone before you leave. Get them to pray for you. If you do want us to pray for you, Robert and I will be here at the front, and we'd love to do that. But otherwise, thank you for coming this evening. Hope you have a great week. Just to give a bit of information, after the summer, after you've had a bit of time to rest, had a bit of time to relax, hopefully. The autumn term program is on your table. We're going to be going through Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray. It's a brilliant book. I'm sure some of you already read it. I've actually studied this book before, and it's just got so many practical, good, helpful teaching on prayer, looking at pause, rejoice, ask and yield, ways that we can pray and come closer to God through that study. So do join us, returning on the 3rd of September after our summer holiday. So have a wonderful, wonderful summer. We'll see you throughout, no doubt, on Sunday mornings, but this is the last Cafe Praise until September the 3rd. Bless you. Thank you for coming. Have a great rest of your afternoon, evening. Please don't mention the tennis to this table over here. They are not yet caught up to speed with the results of the day. So be kind to them. Bless you. Have a great day.
And we're going to carry on. So if you want to carry on, you're welcome. But you are free to go. So whatever you want to do. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when
working. You never stop, you never stop when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.